pertaining to marriage and love. And yeah, you know, I thought about this. I read this verse on a couple verses out of this passage this week on a daily Bible reading, and I thought to myself, man, oh man. So I read the whole chapter, and I thought, man, oh man. And I wasn't even thinking about Valentine's week. So just a double bonus there, free of charge. You're getting a double bonus from God's holy word. But have not love is the title of our lesson this morning. Obviously, from the first part of the passage, you can understand where it comes from. And this comes from 1 Corinthians, which you want to talk about troubled children of God, new children of God, things they struggled with in their life. And Paul writes this book, his first letter to Corinthians. These are a few things that he brings to light before we get to that chapter. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But He who is spiritual judges all things, yet He Himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ. I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful that He helps us understand what truth is. Because if we were to look at the world for love, we're in a world of hurt. We are in a world of hurt. Because really it's all about fleshly pleasure. It's just the flesh. It's the physical side of things they think about. You know, and the people that claim to be the most loving in the world turn around and are the most hateful in the world, aren't they? We've seen that here in politics, haven't we? Oh, yeah, we're the party of love, and we got to love everybody, and we need to love our neighbor, but we hate those people, and we detest this people. Thankfully, Jesus gave us an example not to live our lives that way, and to be wise, and to have the mind of Christ, to recognize what true love is. And, you know, we think about the political upheaval that we have, and the hatefulness we see in the media, and the things that go on in our lives. And man, this is troubling times, and the end of the world's about to come. Same thing happened when Jesus was here. Same thing happened when 1 Corinthians was written. There's nothing new to man. They thought they knew what love was all about. They thought how to love one another. They thought that they were following Jesus the best they could. And Paul writes this chapter that is full of a wealth of knowledge, full of conviction, full of insight, full of the power of God. It displays what true love really is and does. And there's so much about love in the Bible that tonight's lesson is on love too. So love of God is the title of tonight's lesson. This morning we're just going to look, folks, at 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Folks, this passage is convicting to me. I read those passages and it makes me want to well up. And I'm kind of a man's man, you know. I don't put up with too much. God's word just melts me. Touches my heart. That's why I love it so much. Because it's the truth. It helps me be all that I can be. It helps us be all that we can be, folks. You got to believe in that. You got to believe in that. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Can you imagine that? I can speak like an angel. That's unbelievable to speak. I can't speak like an angel. I'm old Spuddy and Swamp Yankee from Michigan. Don't know where I'm from. My mom's a rebel. My dad's a Yankee. Okay? That's why I'm all mixed up, in case you'd already heard the story, those of you that don't. But I'm saved by the blood of Christ, regardless of how mixed up I am. Thanks be to God. Same thing with us, folks. But it doesn't matter how much have become. There's nothing I would hate worse in my life to be on my epitaph. Is that right? On my tombstone. He was a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. What a terrible thing. How many of us want to wear a t-shirt around? You know, everybody wears t-shirts. Or get a tattoo. I'm a sounding brass. I'm a clanging cymbal. And none of us want to do that. We don't want to be remembered for that. We don't want to proclaim that that's a strong thing for us. But you know what? You can be smartest of all people and intelligent and have wisdom and knowledge and speak like an angel. But if you don't do it in love, you might as well wear that shirt. It says ting ting, bing bang, clang. You know, like the old gong show. Remember watching the gong show? Somebody start doing something. Kabang, you're out of here. Well, for us to remember, folks, to be able to have all the wisdom in the world, to be able to speak as a representative of the kingdom of heaven and not have love. Understanding God's word. Having faith. And everything we do, and being so strong, and not remembering how Jesus used that. Excuse me. That's the problem that folks have had throughout the beginning of time. Once they get a faith, once I know just enough to know what's wrong, I want to tell somebody else what they need to be doing. That's not love. That's a good faith. You may be speaking with men, tongues of men and tongues of angels, but you got to put the love in there. And that comes with maturity. And that comes with praying to God and opening your heart and asking for His wisdom and His guidance in our decisions and the things that we do. But have not love, I am nothing. I can give my money and I can serve and I can give all my things to the poor. I can even just sacrifice and do so much for everything and be involved in every program that I get sick. I work myself till I'm sick. Boy, they just do so much. But you don't have love, it profits me nothing. Profits us nothing. And that's the neat thing about Jesus when he came. Because he didn't have a home to love. He didn't have a wife or children to love. Okay? He didn't have all the things that sometimes we make excuses for. He says the most important thing is loving people by your actions. And that's what he did when he was here. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He cared about people more than he did himself. I still am baffled by how perfect he is and that he came down here. You think Jesus was asked by God? We don't know. You think Jesus was asked by God? Hey, Jesus, you want to go down there and help these people? Redeem them from their sins? Whether he was asked or not, he came and he did that. You know? Think of our sister that goes to third world countries to help those people out. She leaves the splendor of mom and dad's home in the America, United States, and going down south and You know, that's, I tell you what. But it's love for people. It's love for their souls. It's love to teach them about Jesus. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Man, oh man. I don't know about you guys, but I need to repent. Yeah, once in a while, I'll ask my wife. Do once in a while, Kelly, I behave rudely? Possibly. See how loving she is? She can't even say yeah. Yeah, repent, husband. But I'm glad God's holy word can convict me to be able to say, you know, I need to work on that. Love suffers long and is kind. I love you, but I'm going to tell you what I don't like about you. That's not what that says. It says it suffers long. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not think evil. Yeah, when somebody does something to hurt you, the first thing you want to do is get revenge. You want to hurt them back. Might not hurt you to lose a few pounds. How about you? I'll use that for an example. Thinks no evil, but rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in treating people kind and loving. Love does not envy. You know, envy is, you know, in our world today, envy is kind of, to me, a lost art, so to speak, because we got so much stuff. You know, we are bombarded with stuff. You know, and if we want it, we just go flip the card out and buy it. You know, or we just plan ahead to buy it. Now, the other type of envy that comes about, well, I don't like my spouse. I wish I had somebody else's spouse. Okay? Well, that's not love. That's not love. Does not envy. I don't wish I had somebody else's spouse. I don't wish I had somebody else's job, somebody else's house, somebody else's faith. God has created each and every one of us special and individual. And He loves us so much, He wants us to enjoy that life and not wish we were in somebody else's shoes, in somebody else's time frame in their life, somebody else's financial situation. That's not love. And it's tough to bear all things, to be faithful in all situations, to have hope, to endure all things, to have perseverance, to be godly. I'll give you an example. I found out, it'll be public knowledge anyways, but I found out that my sister's grandson, 15 years old, going to be a dad. What a tragedy, right? What a tragedy. He's not even out of high school. He's going to be a dad. Gentleman's a Christian to boot. Baptized into Christ. Should be walking right. Should be having an example. Should be surrounded with love so he doesn't make that kind of mistake. Yet he did. But to throw his faith out the window, no. He should be able to bear all things and believe all things and hopes all things. He should man up. And I know that's a worldly term, but I'll use it this morning. When it comes to love, folks, we need to man up. We need to sacrifice for one another. We need to forgive one another. We need to bear all things and believe all things and hope all things and endure. You know, we don't want to endure. I don't want to endure pain, sickness, emotional hurt, relationships. You know, I want unicorns and butterflies. No, I really don't. No, I don't want. I don't know. That's not what I want. Maybe you do, but I don't. But folks, following Jesus and the truth and real love in our lives, in our daily situations and in our relationships. When Satan tempts us in his toolbox with thinking evil about somebody, that's not love. God's holy word and his Holy Spirit ought to direct us to say, get behind me, Satan. You know, when somebody's angry and mean to us at work, you know, I'm going to get back at them, tit for tat. I'm going to get even. Folks, Jesus never got even. The way Jesus got even was dying on the cross. That's how he evened the score with us and our sins between us and God. That's what it means to get even as a Christian. And that's tough because that's not the worldly concept of getting even. It's not. Why? Because love never fails. Love never fails. Don's going to fail you. Brothers and sisters in Christ are going to fail you. Happening in 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing to these Christian folks, man. Love never fails. God is love. God never fails. Jesus is God. Jesus never fails. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. I never fail. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Love still is here. Isn't it ironic that Paul writes the 1 Corinthians and talks about love and how to treat each other and how to get rid of sin and guilt and negativity and to follow the true and the living God? And then he says, you know what? Some of this stuff's going away, folks, because it was here to prove God was who he is. But love never fails. Love's going to continue on for 2,000 years, thousands of years till Jesus comes again. Love never fails. Prophecies were specifically to guide people to Jesus. Tongues were specifically to confirm and guide people to Jesus. Knowledge without God's holy word was specifically to guide people to Jesus. We have what is perfect that guides us to Jesus now, today, right here, his holy word. We have love in writing from God to us as instructions. Isn't that funny? We think of it as do's and don'ts. Don't do this, do that. And God sends it down to us and says, hey man, I love you. This is how you be happy. This is how you do the right things right. This is how I created you to be. Love never fails. And yet we want to turn away from the love of God. It's crazy. Why would someone want to turn away from the love of God and never open the love of God? It is crazy, but that happens in our life. It happened back then. It'll happen more. Let's make sure we're not one of those crazy people that we turn away from the love of God. Thank you for being here this morning and proving the love of God to be a participant in his holy blessings. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, But then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Folks, as we read God's holy word this morning from this passage, to be a man, you got to recognize love never fails. God loves us and he wants us to follow him. And when we think we love somebody, we need to not be negative and hateful and wish evil. We need to control ourselves. It's a choice to make. It's called self-control. It's part of love. It's part of God's holy word. It's part of God's love to us and how to deal with each other. That's when we become adults, spiritually mature. Now, we all continue with that walk. There's some times that I feel like I'm super mature, and I'm humbled and thankful that I made good choices. There's times in my life, maybe sometimes you guys do the same thing, and you make a bonehead of a choice, and you got to repent. And that's going to happen. Because there was only one Jesus. There's only one Jesus. And the neat thing about it is, he said, I'm leaving heaven and coming down here to tell you that I love you. And no matter what you do, no matter how many bonehead stunts you make in your life and decisions you make, I love you. Come to me. Don't give up walking in faith. Folks, this morning, I close the lesson with a statement from our passage, love never fails. Love never fails. If you feel like a failure, open your heart to the love of God. If you have failed relationships, apply God's holy word to those relationships. God doesn't make failures. He makes human beings that are created in his image to love one another. If there's anything in the message this morning that helps you, or if you've convicted by any means to repent of things or become a child of God, we ask you to make that right with God as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.